Kellogg's Pep.
Kellogg's Pep, the build-up wheat cereal with the prize in every package, invites you to share another thrilling adventure with Mark Trail.
Battling the raging elements, fighting the savage wilderness, striking at the enemies of man and nature, one man's name resounds from snow-capped mountains down across the sun-baked plains, Mark Trail!
It is evening, and the single lamp in George Masters' library dimly lights up the room. Seated opposite him is Fred Carter, and from the precautions Masters took to make sure they were alone, it is obvious that he has something important to say.
Carter, I know you think I've been something of a fool to make archaeology my hobby.
Oh, I wouldn't say that, Masters.
I've spent years examining old maps, studying old civilizations which have come and gone, and I'm convinced a fortune lies buried underneath the ground of these United States, if you know where to dig for it.
There are others who believe that way, Masters.
Well, I've just come back from Silver Pool Lake. It's a short distance south of Lost Forest.
Oh, yes. The animal sanctuary run by Professor Davis.
Yeah. Huh? There's a king's ransom buried near that lake, I'm almost positive. The relics of a lost Indian civilization buried 1,000 years.
Well, why don't you go out and start digging?
That would attract too much attention. I'd like to go out there with someone who knows the land, make absolutely sure of the treasure, then buy up the land from the government. In that way, the treasures of that lost civilization would be mine.
How can you swing that, Masters?
I figured it out, and in time I'll need your help.
Uh-huh. Shoot.
Well, let us say I'm a businessman who's been working too hard. The doctor orders a rest, a hunting and fishing trip. I agree. And I choose Silver Pool Lake for my trip.
So far, so good.
I ask someone to go along with me. I pay him well. Someone like Mark Trail.
Trail? Oh, I heard his name someplace.
He's a naturalist. Roams around the country claiming to be a protector of wildlife. And what's more important, happens to be at Lost Forest right now.
Well, that's convenient for him. But maybe he won't do it.
He'll do it for old Professor Davis. They need money in Lost Forest. It costs a lot to keep a sanctuary going. And I'm willing to pay.
Yes, it begins to stack up, Masters. But just suppose Trail runs across this treasure, or whatever it is, and he doesn't play ball.
I thought of that too, Carter. I'm not worried about Trail. You know why?
Why?
Because accidents can always happen.
And accidents will happen more than once in this adventure with Mark Trail.
But listen, if you'd like to hit the adventure trail, help build up strength, help build up energy, help build up strong bones and steady nerves, with that famous build-up wheat cereal, Kellogg's Pep. Whole wheat in its most delicious form, toasted flakes. That's Kellogg's Pep. Not just one bowlful, of course. Kellogg's Pep won't work wonders overnight. But Kellogg's Pep with milk and sugar, day after day, will help you store up a powerhouse of the food elements you need to build up strength, energy, strong bones, and steady nerves. For, marvelous multi-flavored Pep has more vitamins than any other ready-to-eat wheat cereal. What's more, just one serving of Kellogg's Pep gives you a day's need of vitamin D, the sunshine vitamin. And mark this, PEP also stands for prize in every package. And I'll tell you about those swell prizes in a little while. Till then, remember, if you want to hit the adventure trail and really feel fit for fun, ask your mother when she goes shopping to bring you a package of Pep. That's Kellogg's Pep.
One week later, George Masters, posing as a tired businessman, has made his deal. Mark Trail has agreed to serve as guide on a hunting and fishing trip, and camp has been pitched on the shore of Silver Pool Lake. Then one morning, a small rowboat pushes out from the shore. Sitting in the stern of the boat, baiting a fish hook, is Mark Trail. At the oars is George Masters.
We started later than I expected, Trail.
Thought we'd start fishing at dawn.
Well, Sherry Davis and Scotty promised to come down from Lost Forest to spend the day with us. Thought we'd wait for them.
Guess they're not coming after all.
Guess not.
Well, aren't we out far enough?
Come on, a little more, Masters. The rowing's good exercise for you.
I think I've had enough. I'd rather fish than row.
Okay, then here. I baited your hook for you.
Oh, thanks. Now let's see how much I've learned.
Hey, you've learned a lot, I'd say. You cast that line like a professional.
Yeah, but these fish don't bite for me like a professional.
Oh, who said they don't? You got to strike.
What do I do now?
Reel the fish in.
That's it. That's the way. Here he comes. I have the net handy.
Oh, boy. Isn't he a beauty? Oh, good heavens. Something peculiar about this little devil.
Oh, yes, there is. This fish has no eyes.
Well, not just blind, no eyes at all. I wonder why.
Well, there's only one answer to that, of course.
Mark, we're here.
Oh, someone's trying to get your attention on shore.
No, that's Scotty. And Sherry Davis is with him. Let's row to shore.
Well, what about this fish?
Well, when we get to shore, we'll dig a hole, fill it with water, and keep the fish alive. I think Scotty and Sherry would like to hear about this fish, too.
Darndest thing I ever saw.
It's amazing how it never bumps into the side of the pool.
Yeah, that's what I've been thinking, Sherry. And it's got no eye. Is it a freak?
Wrong, Scotty. Nothing freakish about it.
What?
Not a freak?
Now, don't tell me you've seen one of these before, Trey.
Many of them. Though not exactly this species.
Eyeless fish?
Yes. In streams and great underground caverns like Monmouth Cave.
Gee, of course. That's dumb of me. I should have remembered that.
I may still be thick-headed, but I've never heard of a fish like this before.
It's simple, Mr. Masters. In the underground streams of, say, Monmouth Cavern, fish have been living for thousands of years. Well, those streams are completely black. No light whatsoever. So the fish there had no use for eyes.
You mean they never had eyes?
Oh, no. Thousands of years ago, their original ancestors did, when those underground streams were open. But then, when they were covered, blacked out. And nature, over the course of time, allowed the eyes to vanish.
Really?
Well, they were useless. And a basic law of nature is that anything that's useless disappears. Only the useful survives.
Well, in that case, Mark, how come this fish in Silver Pool Lake?
It's sure no underground stream.
Yeah, Trail, what about that?
Well, I'm not certain, but I may have the answer. Masters.
Yes?
Did you hear anything that sounded like thunder during the night?
Come to think of it, Mark, I did.
You're certain?
Positive. I remember distinctly looking forward to a dull, dreary, rain-soaked day.
Yet no rain, not even a cloud. And there wasn't any indication of a storm last night.
What are you getting at, Mark?
Well, one thing that could have caused that noise was a landslide or a cave-in.
Landslide in this part of the country, Mark?
It's possible, Sherry. Particularly if the landslide took place where I think it did.
Well, where?
Underwater. Come on. Scotty, you take Sherry in one rowboat. Masters and I will go in another. We're going to explore Silver Pool Lake right now. Come on, Scotty. Don't lag so far behind.
We're coming, Mark.
This is a real thrill, Trail. Never expected to run across eyeless fish.
Well, we got that cliff in a few seconds now.
Why there? Why not some other part of the shoreline?
Because all the rest of the lake bottom rises in a gradual slope. That huge stone cliff could very well conceal some kind of cavern.
Say, very smart. Okay, drag your oars. We're coming close to the face of the cliff.
Right. Well, this is it.
Water's inky black.
And just the shadow of the cliff. Well, guess I better take off my sweatshirt.
You gonna dive in, Mark?
That's what I put swimming trunks on for, Cherry. Okay, Scotty, just drag your oars and pull up alongside us.
All right, Mark.
Well, here goes.
Throw me your rope, Mr. Masters. I'll lash the boats together.
Sure. And to think that all of this started with a freak fish.
Yes, it started that way, but I wonder how it'll end.
There's Mark now, breaking the surface.
Mark!
Here, take these. I'm going down for another look.
Sherry, look what Mark handed me. Medals of some kind.
Let me see those, boy.
What are they?
By heaven, they're gold.
Gold?
Solid gold medallions.
Look at the figures on them.
Yes, and they're almost a pound apiece.
Mr. Masters,
do you know how much that is in real money? Over $1,000.
There's Mark.
Has he got... Yes!
Here, Cherry.
A plate, a solid gold plate.
Here, Mark, let me help you in the boat.
What the devil did you find down there, Trail?
Let him catch his breath, Mr. Masters.
It's all right, Cherry. There's a hole in the cliff, about 12 feet below the water surface. It's big, jagged, and no marine growth on the edges. So it's just recent. Probably the cause of that roar we heard last night.
Yeah, but this gold, man, this gold.
Easy, Masters, easy. Now, the way I figure it, there's an underground stream behind that cliff wall. Erosion just left a thin sheet of rock between that stream and this lake. And last night, it finally crumbled.
But the gold, is there more down there?
Some. It came from within that cave. Probably the remnants of an ancient civilization.
Well, we've got to get in there.
Well, Mr. Masters, to explore that cavern, we'll need diving helmets and watertight flashlights. And then again, we might even find a place to blast it open from the land side.
I'll get you all of that stuff. I'll call my assistant Carter and have him bring you everything you need.
Swell, Mr. Masters, do that. And who knows? We may unearth the greatest archaeological discovery of the North American continent.
Carter, this is Masters.
Yeah, Masters. How are things going?
Perfect. I've played this right, Carter, and Trail has fallen for it hook, line, and sinker. And it looks to me as if we're going to find that treasure I told you about.
What now?
A lot of things. I want you to buy some stuff for me, Carter, then get up to Silver Pool Lake on the double.
Fine with me.
And Carter.
Yes?
Keep the trip a secret. No sense broadcasting what might happen.
Hello, Masters.
Yeah, glad you got here, Carter. Did you get everything I phoned you for?
Yes, I did. Though it was pretty hard on such short
notice. The devil with excuses. What about that station wagon? Four-wheel drive?
Oh, I never would have gotten here if it wasn't. I came the last 4 miles across country.
Well, Trail, you ready to go to work?
If the diving helmets are in good order, yes.
Oh, they are. Never fear.
Well, then, let's go. We'll drive the station wagon as close to the cliffs as we can, and then we'll see just how much gold is in that cave we found.
Mark, are you sure this is safe?
Now, don't you worry, Charlie.
Trail, Carter and I can let you and the boy down the side of this cliff by the ropes attached to the helmets.
Okay.
We tied a basket to this other rope. You can send back anything interesting you find in the cave.
Right. Sherry.
Yes, Mark?
Start the pumps.
All right.
Come on, Masters. Help me out with this helmet.
Sure. Carter, help the boy.
Right, Masters.
Okay, Trail.
Yep. Little Carter. Don't want any water leaking in.
You getting air?
Yep. How about you, Scotty?
Well, Mark.
All right, come on. We'll lower you over the side of the cliff.
All right.
And don't forget, yank the rope twice when you want to come up.
Scotty, you all right?
Yes, Mark. But how come no water in here?
We're in the cave now, above the water level of the lake. I'll test the air in here.
How is it, Mark?
Okay. You can take the helmet off. Here's your watertight flashlight.
Gosh, Mark, what a cave.
Look over there, Scotty.
Cliff houses.
Yes. This must have been open ground at one time, thousands of years ago.
Look, Mark, those vases on the ground. Gold.
Yeah, we'll send them back to Masters and let them through. Then we'll explore this cave a little more thoroughly. Now, put in the basket, Scotty.
Okay, Mark.
Now, give the rope 2 yanks. That's it. We'll leave the helmets here and continue our explorations.
Look at this vase. It's gold.
Right, Carter. You see why I told you to spare no expense in getting that diving equipment?
Anything wrong, Mr. Masters?
No, just keep pumping air. Trail just sent back another sample from the cave.
This is worth a fortune.
I know, and that fool Trail wants to turn it over to some museum for ancient civilization.
Yeah, but what are you...
He won't, Carter. Watch.
You're pulling the rope attached to Trail's helmet.
And there's no resistance. They've taken them off.
Yeah, but if they...
Pull the rope attached to the boy's helmet, Carter. Are you... You going as far as murder? Carter, remember I told you accidents can happen? We can't help it if the helmet slipped into the water.
Too bad the kid and Mark Trail will be buried alive in a cave from which there's no escape because of an accident.
Deep underground, Mark and Scotty explore the lost Indian city, as yet unaware that they are trapped. We'll continue in a moment, so stand by.
Buried alive in an underwater cave, Mark and Scotty have some tough swimming ahead. And suppose you had a tough swim ahead, crouched on the edge of an indoor swimming pool, waiting for the starting gun. Ready? Set? And you're off to a good start. But there are 10 long laps ahead. Good thing you've been making Kellogg's Pep a main part of your breakfast day after day. Pep, the build-up wheat cereal. Wheat in its most delicious form. Toasted flakes. Ready to eat, fun to eat. Wonderful with milk and sugar.
Starting your ninth lap now.
And the swimmer on your right has passed you. Well, now's the time to call on that powerhouse of food elements Pep has provided to build up strength, energy, strong bones, and steady nerves. Help you feel fit for fun, fit for a race like this. With a final burst of speed, you streak ahead. Flap the side of the pool and win the race. Yes, it certainly pays to feel fit for fun, pays to enjoy a daily dish of Pep. And remember, PEP also stands for prize in every package. A terrific prize. I'll tell you all about soon. Meantime, mark this. You have your fun and eat it too with Kellogg's Pep.
And Scotty are exploring an underground cave, which they entered by diving deep under Silver Pool Lake while wearing diving helmets. Inside the cave, they removed their helmets and started exploring. Unknown to them, Masters and his assistant Carter have pulled the rope attached to the helmets, dragging the helmet back into the water. Mark and Scotty finish their exploration, and then...
Gosh, Mark, these cliff dwellings, all those golden ornaments... The people who lived here must have been pretty highly civilized.
Yes, Scotty. From some of the designs, I'd say it was an offshoot of the Aztec civilization of Mexico.
You'd know better than... Mark.
What is it, Scotty?
Didn't we leave our helmets near this rock?
Well, I thought so. Flash your light around some more.
I was positive it was this rock.
Yes.
Mark, they're gone.
Easy, Scotty.
But how'll we get out?
No, don't get panicky, Scotty.
Well, they must have slipped off the rock back into the water.
We'll get out.
But how? We could never hold our breath for as long as we were underwater with those helmets.
I know, Scotty. But there's a way out of here. If we keep our heads and think, we'll find it together.
Mr. Masters?
Yes?
Haven't they signaled that they want to come back yet?
No, Miss Davis. Just keep pumping air.
Masters, what are you going to do about her? We can't stand here holding these ropes all day. She'll get suspicious.
I know. I'll take care of her. With Trail and the boy in that cave, she's the only one besides us who knows about this fortune in gold.
You mean you're going to...
Stay here. Hold the ropes. I'll take care of her with my hand.
Got it! Masters!
Hey, Masters!
Huh?
What? It's Trail and the boy in the water.
Got it! I found the rope! Pull! Scotty's almost gone!
Carter, you idiot, pull! We can't let them think this was anything but an accident.
Golly, Mark, I thought I'd swallow the whole lake.
You're all right now, Scotty.
How did it happen, Mark?
I'm not sure.
Well, that was a close call, Trail. We just kept holding the ropes attached to the helmet. With no pull or signal, we had no idea they were in the water.
Of course not, Mr. Masters.
Well, they probably slipped off the rock we laid them on when we took them off.
Yes, that must have been it.
But, Mark, how did you get out?
Mark figured that out keen. The shortest way.
The shortest way, Trail?
Well, when we dove in the lake, we found the opening of the cave about a dozen feet down. We climbed through. When we swam up, we were in the cave itself.
Yeah. The cave was filled with water for a ways, but the earth was sloping up, so we soon were on dry land.
But what's this shortest way, Trail?
Well, we swam inside the cave until we reached the wall, beyond which would be the lake. And somewhere down that wall was the opening we came in by. Well, that was the shortest way out.
So, Mark asked me to grab his feet, and he dived straight down. He found the opening and popped up on the outside. The only thing was, I couldn't hold my breath for the whole length of time.
Well, it's a good thing you held it until you got through that opening in the cliff, or you might have come up inside the cave again.
Mark, you're not going in that cave again.
Of course not. One experience like that is enough.
Too much, if you ask me.
Right, boy. I'll see if Carter's got that hot drink ready for you two yet. And then we'll try and figure out some other way into that treasure cave.
Oh, that's good. Hot coffee. Makes a new man of me.
I can say the same for this hot chocolate.
There's plenty more of both.
Sure. We've got to make certain the two of you are feeling good.
Will you have another try at that cave, Mr. Trail?
He will not.
Now, just a minute, Jerry.
Mark, you said you wouldn't.
Not through the water.
You found an entrance.
I found a place where I think we can blast an entrance.
Well, you mean where the treasure room was, Mark?
Treasure room?
Yes. There's a whole city of cliff dwellings in that cave.
Gold in the dwellings.
The only thing that isn't gold in that cave is the earth.
That's right, Masters. And the workmanship indicates a high degree of craftsmanship.
Well, this will be quite a discovery. I'll tell you what. If you really think you can blast through to the cave, Carter and I will take the station wagon and get some dynamite and fuse.
Good idea, Mr. Masters.
I've never handled dynamite. Shall I hire an expert to set the charge off?
Golly, Mr. Masters, Mark's an expert.
Oh?
He's blown apart more log jams in lumber country than you can shake a stick at.
Well, in that case...
I'll take charge of the blasting, Masters. You get the dynamite.
Okay, we'll be back inside of 3 hours.
Isn't this pretty rough country to be driving over with all this dynamite in the back, Masters?
Don't be a fool, Carter. Dynamite won't go off without a detonator.
I thought you didn't know anything about it.
That bit of false information was for Trail's ears, not yours.
Are you going to...
try and get rid of Mr. Trail and his party? Of course.
But how? You won't take Trail unawares?
I don't intend to. I'll let the dynamite do that. That's why I said I knew nothing about it.
And how will you do it?
You see this roll of fuse wire I've been tampering with while you've been driving?
Yeah.
Well, it's what they call one-minute fuse. 1 foot of it takes a minute to burn, so... if you use a 3-foot fuse, you've got 3 minutes to get away before the blast.
So?
Well, I fixed it so 1 foot will burn in 5 seconds. When Trail touches a match to this, he'll not only blow a hole into the cave, he'll blow himself to kingdom come.
Solidly. Now, give me that fuse cord.
Yeah, here.
3-foot cord. Well, 3 minutes should give us time to get clear of this spot.
Us?
I mean me. You go down with the others.
A pleasure.
But first, give me a hand with this rock.
Roll it over the dynamite hole and just allow the fuse to stick out. Well, why do you want to do that?
I want most of the force of the dynamite to blow downward rather than up. That's it, thanks. Now, join the others. Signal me when you're ready.
Right.
Going to dynamite now, Mr. Masters?
Whenever we're ready. I think we'd all better step back farther.
Did he say how long a fuse he's putting in, Mr. Masters?
3 minutes, I believe.
3 minutes?
That's right, Carter. I imagine it's safe.
Sure it is. Mark knows what he's doing.
You all ready down here?
Yes, Trail.
Go ahead, Mark.
He's lighting a match.
Yeah. There goes the fuse.
Scotty, look.
That fuse, it's burning like celluloid.
Mark! Mark!
That's no 3-minute fuse.
He's seen it.
He's running back to the fuse. He's going to try and put it out.
Mark!
As the dynamite explodes, Mark falls to the earth in a cloud of dust and smoke. In a moment, we'll find out what happens. So, keep listening. Now, listen closely if you'd like to know what sort of a prize you'll find in every box of Kellogg's Pep. It's a handsome, brightly colored statuette. Yes, sir. A little plastic figure of, maybe a cowboy, maybe an Indian, or a football, baseball, or basketball player. Could be an animal, too. There are 18 different statuettes, one to a box. Trade them with your friends. Collect them till you get all 18. Each little figure stands on its own pedestal so you can move them around in games and toy villages. Let them be passengers on toy trains and trucks. And mark this, you send in no box top, pay no extra money, and you don't wait even a single day. Just open your box of Kellogg's Pep, and right inside, you'll find a cellophane envelope with your statuette and a whole box full of crisp toasted flakes. Marvelous multi-flavored Pep. So tell Mother to pick the package with P-E-P on the front. P-E-P for prize in every package. P-E-P for Pep, the build-up wheat cereal. That's Kellogg's Pep.
Mark, who is blasting a hole into the cave he found on the shores of Silver Pool Lake, does not know the fuse he is using has been doctored by George Masters. Mark sees the fuse burning rapidly, but instead of running away, he dives right at the dynamite as it explodes. Now the dust and debris of the explosion clears to reveal to the observers a hole in the ground and...
Look! Look, he was right. He did blast through to the cave.
The cave? What about Mark? Come on, Scotty.
Look! Look, there he is, Terry.
Oh, thank goodness he wasn't covered with the dirt.
Maybe he's still breathing. Come on, Carter.
Yes, of course.
No, all of you stay where you are.
What? Terry, he's got a gun.
That's right. I'm going to be the first one in that cave.
The cave? It's Mark we're worried about.
How touchy.
Master.
You stay where you are, Carter.
Me?
There's only going to be one person who knows about this gold. Me.
Why, you double-crossing...
I finished trail here and now...
Stop nudging Mark with your feet, you
dirty... Shut up, boy. Man, what?
Mark's got his foot. He's tripping Master.
Let go of me.
His gun, Terry. He dropped it.
Here, Mark. I've got it.
Good. All right, you two. First, we get the sheriff. Then we report this treasure to the United States Archaeological Society.
But, Mark, the blast.
I was knocked out, but came to in the middle of Master's charming speech.
You've got a charmed life, Trail.
No, Masters. I have a knowledge of dynamite.
What do you mean, Mark?
Well, when I saw that fuse, I knew I didn't have a chance to get away before it blew.
I know. You tried to put it out.
No, Jerry. There wasn't time to do that.
But you ran back toward it.
Right. To get as close to the center of the explosion as possible. You see, Scotty, dynamite's a funny substance. The full force of the explosion is 3 feet and more away from the center of it. I got within a foot and a half of the center, where the concussion wasn't so great. And besides, that rock we rolled over the dynamite hole protected me somewhat.
Gosh, Mark, I didn't know that about the force of the explosion not being great near the center.
You should. In fact, it's so well known that a number of men have circus acts doing just that, blowing themselves up with dynamite. But you can bet one thing, after I get these two buzzards behind bars, I'll never try it again.
Hear that? That's a dam bursting, hurling millions of gallons of water over the countryside. On Friday, Mark Trail is caught in that torrent which threatens to drown everything in its path, including Mark. Tune in same time, same station on Friday, and find out what happens to Mark Trail!
Battling the raging elements, fighting the savage wilderness, striking at the enemies of man and nature, one man's name resounds from snow-capped mountains down across the sun-baked plains. Mark Trail!
Remember to tune in then next Friday when Mark Trail will again be brought to you by the build-up wheat cereal, Kellogg's Pep.
This program is entirely fictitious. The resemblance of any name, personality, or incident to an actual person or event is merely coincidental. This program came from New York. Mark Trail by Ed Dodd also appears in the comics of many of America's leading newspapers. Look for it daily and Sunday. Matt Crowley plays Mark Trail, and Ben Cooper is Scotty. Today's Mark Trail was written by Palmer Thompson, directed by Drex Hines. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.